TV.
Greetings, fellow believers. I am Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. We survived another weekend, and today we begin another week of broadcasting the truth of Scripture, correctly cut, rightly divided. We are to be unashamed workmen in the Word of God, understanding laws of language and rules of scriptural interpretation, all in order to arrive at a truth. And the truth is understanding who God is and who Christ is. I can't think of a topic that's more important. Concerning Friday's show, my playing of an audio, and I am going to finish broadcasting that audio and commenting. There are things coming up on it that are even more shocking than what you heard. But I have so many comments to make concerning comments made Friday. Over 400 comments on Friday's show. I don't think I've ever seen that many comments. Because you all care passionately about the glories of Christ. I received a public comment from Richard Golko that I want to read. And my response to it, there was some confusion about a verse from Hebrews. One verse, Hebrews 2:17, says he was like his brethren. Another verse, Hebrews 4:15, said he was tried in all manner as us, not the brethren. There's a really distinct difference between those two verses. Richard confused those two verses that accused me of quoting the wrong verse. I'm going to explain that. It'll be edifying to you. If it's not edifying, if it does not build you up, I'm not going to mention it. If it's not important, I am not going to mention it. I'm not going to bring up small things, inconsequential things. We're not here for that. We are here to discuss God and His Christ. There's no church on earth that does that. They talk about you, your behavior, your tithes, your dedication to the church, your consistent church attendance, whether you're pleasing to God, no one. It's a very rare website that discusses who is God, who is Christ, what is the role of Christ in God's creation, what did Christ sacrifice for us. The nuts and bolts, if you will, the backstory of how he came to be into humanity, of how he emptied himself from the form of God to take the form of a slave. These are vital topics. And of course, some people, not many, some people want me to never expose or rebuke. They just want to be coddled and cuddled. They want just a positive declaration of the truth. They don't want me to mention names. They don't want me to criticize anyone. In fact, one person in the comments suggested I start another channel for exposing and rebuke. You know, Paul's three-part charge to the evangelist in 2 Timothy 4:2 is expose, rebuke, and entreat. And I need to remind you again that two-thirds of evangelism is negative. Expose and rebuke and entreat with all patience and teaching. And I consider myself to be a paragon of patience because I explain the same things over and over and over again. I'm not the greatest, but I consider myself to have grown in patience over the years, and it has not been easy. But back to the point, expose, rebuke, and entreat. Think about that. Two-thirds of evangelism is negative. And Paul dealt with this all the time. So I have so many comments to make that I'm not going to get back to the audio today. I will get back to it probably tomorrow, if not tomorrow, then Wednesday. And then I will have two more parts because there's so much to discuss. There are so many shocks to be had when we listen to this audio of the opposers. There are those who do not believe that Jesus Christ had a glory with the Father before the world was. They agree with the Pharisees, who claimed he was not even 50 years old. How could he have predated Abraham? We, of course, believe that before Abraham was, he is, that he was in the form of God before Bethlehem. And in the most astounding, almost unthinkable act of sacrifice, he surrendered the form of God to take the form of a slave, to come to be in the likeness of a human being, with the head, arms, legs, and because of that was able to humble himself to death, even the death of the cross. And Jesus Christ is quite pleased that we are discussing this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is looking on. He is watching this. Don't you think he loves this? That people are talking about what he did, appreciating what he did? He loves this. I love that he loves it. I'm happy to be doing it. And folks, these opposers who don't believe he had any glory with the Father before the world was, ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't realize how important this is, it's a difference between Christ made everything and Christ made nothing. I want to reduce it to that. You can say, oh, I'm tired of the phrase the pre-existence of Christ, the non-pre-existence of Christ, the two sides of this argument. Yeah, I know, you're sick and tired of the title. How about this then? This is an argument between those who believe Jesus Christ created everything and Jesus Christ created nothing. Am I saying, by as some accuse me of saying, that Jesus Christ is God the Father? Of course not. But he has all the authority granted to him by the Father. One of the most profound explanations of God's relation to Christ is found in 1 Corinthians 8:6. All is out of God, but all is through Christ. Not one thing that was made was not made by Christ. With the authority of God upon him. The authority to create. It was out of God, but it came through Christ. Christ was the channel for everything that has come into existence. When did he do this? When he was in the form of God. If you don't like the titles pre-existence, non-pre-existence, I get that. You're tired of it. How about this? Christ was the firstborn of all creation, literally the first one to come into existence, verified by Revelation 3:14. He's the origin of the creation of God, which means he is the first thing God created, which is also backed up in Colossians, which says that he's the image of the invisible God. How about an argument between that and that billions of beings were created before Christ? Every single person born before Bethlehem came into existence before Christ. Every celestial being came into existence before Christ. And my question would be, if Christ is not the firstborn of all creation, is not the origin of the creation of God, what was, who was the first being God created? Who will we give that premier glory to be the first being created, first being to come out of God? Satan? That would be my guess if it's not Christ. I would like to hear the Tories posit who they think came out of God first. Who? I said who, not what. Who? Who came out of God first? Which celestial being? Gabriel? Michael? What Elohim? Satan? For Satan is one of the Elohim, small e. Which false god was created before Jesus Christ? And yet Scripture says he is before all, back to Colossians. He is before all, and all has its cohesion in him. How about this argument is between he is before all or he is after almost everybody. He's the first or he is the last. How does that frame this argument better? Does that tell you how important this argument is? Yeah, somebody wanted me to start another channel for exposure and rebuke. There is no speed bump between expose, rebuke, and entreat. There's only commas. Expose, comma, rebuke, comma, and entreat. And in the original scriptures, there was no punctuation whatsoever. Expose, rebuke, and entreat. It all happens at the same time. It all happens not exactly at the same time, but in one serving. You don't get exposure and rebuke here and entreaty there. It goes all together. Paul is coming out of the gate in Galatians exposing the falsehood of the circumcisionists from Jerusalem who were tricking the Galatians into thinking they needed to perfect their salvation with law. Maybe Paul should have started a separate channel when he started to talk about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. That's where we read a wonderful spiritual truth about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that's in the same letter in which he exposes and rebukes the circumcisionists, and he's exposing and rebuking the idiots in Galatia who were falling for the tricks of the circumcisionists. A separate channel? Who is so weak and dainty and offended? And whose ears are so delicate that they can't hear exposure and rebuke along with entreaty? Have I not entreated? Do I ever expose and rebuke without entreating? And do I ever entreat without exposing and rebuking? It all goes together. There are no speed bumps. And in the original Greek, not even any commas. And this, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be thankful. And I want us to be thankful to God for this sect that has arisen in the body of Christ in these the last days. I had never heard of this, honestly, until a couple years ago. So somebody said that, I forget who the first one was teaching, Liam or Richard Golko, or maybe it was the pirate Mark Haukes, or maybe it was Peter Maven. Somebody said, maybe it was Clyde Pilkington. No, actually, I think it was Aaron Welch. All these people believe this heinous, hideous lie, but I think it was Aaron Welch. Somebody said, Aaron Welch is teaching that Jesus Christ did not pre-exist his birth in Bethlehem. I said, what? I am so naive. Just when I thought I heard everything. Now I find out that this lie has been around since the Reformation days, probably before that. Folks, Paul dealt with these kinds of things constantly. He did. Paul dealt with those who denied the resurrection. That's a pretty bad teaching, isn't it? To say there is no resurrection at all. But he also denied with people who misplaced the resurrection, who said the resurrection had already occurred. The Thessalonians thought that they had missed the snatching away because they thought the tribulation already started. Paul had to correct that. And by the way, he exposed and rebuked those who said that the resurrection had already occurred. Every other day, people were saying Paul was a false apostle. Paul had to defend his apostleship constantly. This is as good as it gets, folks. What do just one of you, one or two of you, maybe three, the majority of you benefit from this. You see, you have learned more about Christ. Like the show I did on Thursday was an amazing show of how Christ emptied himself from the form of God to take the form of a slave. It was a case of now you see him, now you don't. And he voluntarily did it. He did it consciously. He did it for us. He gave up everything. He submitted to a mind erase. He submitted to an empty, just, I don't even need to say mind erase. People always say, why are you making up words? Okay, I'll just use this word. Emptied himself. Emptied himself. Emptied. The profundity of that word. I tried to express it on Thursday. If you haven't heard that show, listen to it from last week. The epicness of it. And to have that stolen from him by people who are twisting the word of God and forcing sperm into Mary's uterus, for God's sake. Somebody doesn't like me saying for God's sake or for Christ's sake. Wild boar is a pig with horns, you know. Wild boar criticized me for sometimes using bad words. He said, you even say things like, for Christ's sake. This is for Christ's sake, literally, for his sake. We're doing it for his sake. Well, Martin, Christ doesn't need us. Not absolutely, but relatively. He loves this. He loves this. How many people care as much as we do about this? He loves the people who are mistaken about it. But as our apostle said, and I'll keep repeating this until we're out of here, there must be sects among you. One translation says heresies. If you want to say wrong teachings, there must be these errors, these terrible mistakes among you in the body of Christ. Why? That those who are qualified may be becoming apparent. People like me. I'm not the only one, but people like me. I thank God for this sect. I mean, I hate it in one way, because it just saddens me that friends of mine believe that Jesus Christ created nothing and that Satan was created before him. Satan. Satan was created before Christ. Well, think about it. Who was in the garden deceiving the first couple? Satan. Where was Christ? Nowhere. According to the Tories, according to those who deny that Christ created anything, those who deny that Christ is before all, they deny that Christ was existent. So Satan was created first. Is Satan the firstborn of the creation of God? I'd like to hear their theory. Might as well ask them their theory, because everything else they put out is theory. Everything else is theory. It's all theory. It's theoretical. It's made up. Because, and you're going to see this as the audio unfolds, you will see, because I've listened to it several times, you will see that they are reducing Christ. They need Christ to be on their level. They do not want to be in awe of Christ. I don't know why. Maybe God will give me the answer. Maybe I'll figure it out. I don't know. But they are not in awe of Christ. They will say, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Remember what Terry Clements said? He says, the problem is they're lacking a reverence for Christ. And Mark Haukes, my friend, our friend, the pirate, the guy with the eye patch, has given beautiful talks on Christ. He objected to that. He called Terry's statement self-righteous. And yet, in the same show, Terry humbled himself. He said, I can be self-righteous about things. This is what he said. He said, I sometimes lack this reverence. I have lacked this reverence for Christ before in my past. He admitted to it. And yet, Mark Haukes did not like, not that he was personally accused of lacking reverence for Christ, but Terry said, and I agreed with him, that the Tories, the Trinity overreactors, T-O-R, they're reacting to the Trinity. They don't like the Trinity. Of course, we all hate the Trinity. It's not true, but they think they have to destroy the preexistence of Christ in order to destroy the Trinity. Absolutely not necessary. We were simply saying, Terry was saying, and I was agreeing, that there's a lack of reverence. They are not in awe of Jesus Christ. And Mark Haukes objected. I revere Christ. And I answered him. I said, yes, you do. I saw that man in tears talking about Jesus on the cross. Mark Haukes has great reverence for Christ. But the truth stated by Terry Clemens was that they lack reverence for Christ. Mark Haukes has only half of the reverence that he ought to have for Christ. There's more to be had. They lack it. I didn't say, and neither did Terry, they don't have any reverence. They lack reverence. They lack awe. They lack an awareness of the majesty, of the greatness, of what our Lord did for us. all they see is the cross. I mean, okay, that's good. You see the cross. You know that Jesus Christ went to the cross, saved the world for our sake. That's good. But that's only half of what he did. That was him humbling himself. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul very clearly speaks of a double lowering, a double stepping down. First, Paul says he emptied himself from the form of God. He was inherently, that it belonged to him, the form of God. Emptied himself from that to take the form of a slave. How did that happen? Paul, it describes it perfectly and so simply. A five-year-old can understand it. Came to be in fashion as a human. He didn't look like us before. But when he came to earth, he began looking like us. Starting with a zygote. Starting with a little cluster of reproducing cells. Clung to a wall of blood in the uterus of a Jewish teenager. That's what he did consciously for us. They don't believe that. It is a lack of reverence. But why the need to bring him down to our level, to say that he's only, I have so much to say about this sperm, to say that he's only a man, to say that he's 100% human, 0% divine. As I said on Friday, I thought that was anomalous to Peter May. I thought, God, Peter May, that's freaky. He told me that on the phone. Surely none of the others believe it. Oh, they do. It's a 0% divine, 0%. That's why they have to force that sperm in there. Human sperm. I got a lot to say about that. I was going to say it today. I can't believe I'm not getting to it. I want to make sure you know that we all ought to be thanking God for this sect. This is a gift. Because again, I said, Paul, I told you, just went through all the things Paul wrestled with in the first century. We are now in the 21st century. We are in the last days, the final months of millennium six, the last days of eon three, the last months at the most, I believe. I honestly believe. You would think that with the passage of time from the days of Paul, that the body of Christ would become perfected, would become of one accord. There would be no more sects. There would be no more idiotic mistakes like this. There would be no more crazy people saying the resurrection already occurred. Nobody would ever think that there's no snatching away. Who's going to doubt the snatching away? Who's going to doubt the resurrection? Who's going to doubt Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:51 that we shall not all be put to repose? Then here comes Clyde Pilkington saying we must all be put to repose. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Haven't we gained anything? Hasn't the body of Christ gained steam over the last 2,000 years to become one in teaching? No. No. Because God is still gifting us with this. This is a gift. Because the truth shines so brightly against the falsehood. I am learning myself even so much about the glories of Christ, about his emptying, and what has brought it out? The error. What has brought it out? The darkness. The lightness shines up so bright against the darkness. This is why exposure, rebuke, and entreaty belong all in the same passage, all in the same package. And no, I will not be starting a separate website, as someone suggested, to expose and rebuke. Here's my entreaty website. All happiness, all positivity, no mentioning of any names, no hurt feelings, no telling some people they're wrong. All flowers and light and Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips. And then, for those of you who love adventure, excitement, and daring do, for those of you who want to be shown to be approved against the latest sect, why, I have a site on the dark web. Yes, I have a site on the dark web called Exposure by Martin Zender. For those of you who want to see the underbelly of the body of Christ, who want to see that indeed Some of these same stupid teachings have come down to today. But I tell you this, it is a gift of God so that we can suffer the same agonies that Paul suffered, the same agonies that the first century believers suffered, that we have the, if I could use a term relatively here, the opportunity to suffer evil, that iron sharpens iron, that we become approved in the scriptures, that we learn laws of language that we never knew before, that we never would have known apart from these gross errors, that we learn rules of scriptural interpretation that we never knew before, that we wouldn't even bother looking into were it not for these errors. These are gifts of God, these sects that have been rising up. Clyde Pilkington's a cause of a lot of them, changing the word grace to joy. It's just a sect after sect after sect, all a gift of God. I look at it this way. It's especially a gift for me with a red bow under my Christmas tree. This is a gift with a red bow under my Christmas tree. Jesus says, here's another one, sender. I got another one for you. What is it this time, Lord? Some people are saying that I had no glory with the Father before the world was. Satan was created before I was, and I didn't create a damn thing. Lord, you're kidding. No. Expose and rebuke it. Show yourself approved. This is an opportunity. I love it. I'm so thankful to God for this. Every sect that comes along, I've learned to do that by reading scripture, by seeing how Paul treated these things. It grieves me at the same time. I'm torn. At the same time, I'm grieved. I can't believe that my friends fall for this crap. And then I get selfish. And I think, oh my God, it's a Christmas present with a red bow under my tree. To quote my apostle again, there must be sects among you that those who are qualified may be becoming apparent among you. It's not my idea. It's not my plan. I wanted to be a football player when I grew up. Then I wanted to be a pool player. Then I wanted to be a veterinarian. Then I wanted to be a professional writer. But God wanted me to do this, so here I am. And now he's giving me all these gifts. All these sects are rising up. And I'm not the only one. Oh, no, there are others out there who are teaching against this lie. And I'm going to give you some of them tomorrow. Oh, yes, I'm going to give you some of them tomorrow. And it's a shame that there have to be those vessels that bring the sects. That's the sad part. And I want to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I want to say that because they don't know what they're doing in lowering Christ to their level, in lacking the reverence that they should have. Not saying they don't have any reverence. They're lacking reverence. At least half the reverence they need for Christ, they ought to have for Christ. But apparently, no, they ought not to have it because God has dictated this to happen. It is a gift, not just to me, but to all of us. I am not the only one teaching against this. I am not the only one exposing, rebuking, and entreating. I'm one of the people, and I'm damn glad of it.